Good morning. This is Artificially Intelligent News for Wednesday, September 2nd, 2026. I'm Mark Ellison. This program is created with AI and fact-checked against current reporting and official records. Here's the morning briefing. Congress has passed a short-term funding measure that averts a government shutdown for now and extends federal funding through December 11th. The House approved the continuing resolution by a 370-48 vote. The immediate importance is straightforward. Agencies can keep operating past the end of the fiscal year on September 30th, but this is not a final budget. A continuing resolution generally keeps spending close to existing levels while lawmakers continue negotiating broader appropriations. That means the hardest disputes over spending and policy have been delayed rather than settled. For households and businesses that rely on federal operations, the bill removes the near-term threat of a shutdown. For Congress, it creates another deadline in early winter. The practical value of a continuing resolution is continuity. Federal agencies can continue routine work and avoid the disruption that comes with a lapse in funding. But temporary funding also leaves agencies, contractors, grant recipients, and state and local partners waiting for longer-term decisions. Lawmakers still have to resolve the underlying appropriations questions before the new December deadline. At the Pentagon, Army Secretary Dan Driscoll has submitted his resignation. Driscoll has been the Army's top civilian official since his Senate confirmation in 2025. His departure comes during an active U.S. military campaign in the Middle East and after reports of friction with Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth over Army leadership, modernization, and the removal of senior officers. The White House and the Pentagon have not publicly provided a detailed, shared account of every disagreement, so it is important to separate the confirmed fact from the reporting around it. Driscoll has resigned, while the motives and internal disputes have been described by officials and people familiar with the matter. The administration is also moving to formally nominate Acting Navy Secretary Hung Sao for the permanent Navy post. The broader issue is leadership continuity at the Defense Department during a period of military operations overseas. The Army Secretary is the service's senior civilian leader, with responsibilities that include organization, readiness, personnel, and modernization. A resignation does not itself change the military chain of command, but it does begin a transition in a department making decisions about force structure and equipment. The timing gives the change added significance while American personnel are deployed in a tense regional environment. Homeland Security Investigations is beginning a targeted voter fraud initiative in 9 states, according to federal guidance reported by CNN and Reuters. The effort is set to run from early September into mid-October in Washington, Wisconsin, Missouri, Georgia, California, Pennsylvania, Nevada, New York, and Connecticut. The guidance says agents will pursue leads, conduct field interviews, and support prosecutorial review. The administration says the work is intended to enforce election laws and investigate potential criminal violations. Critics question the timing so close to the midterm elections and note that broad claims of widespread voter fraud require evidence case by case. The key point for listeners is that an investigation is not proof that fraud occurred. Any resulting cases will have to meet the normal legal standards of evidence and due process. The stated initiative covers states with different political and electoral histories. Its announced schedule describes an investigative effort, not a finding about any state's election system or voters. Whether particular leads produce charges will depend on the evidence gathered and on prosecutorial decisions. Court filings, if cases are brought, would provide the public record for evaluating specific allegations. A divided Supreme Court has allowed construction to continue for now on President Trump's proposed White House ballroom while lower court litigation proceeds. The project would replace the East Wing with a privately funded state ballroom. The court's order was 5-4. The majority concluded that the National Trust for Historic Preservation was unlikely to have the legal standing needed to block the work at this stage. Chief Justice John Roberts dissented with the court's 3 liberal justices. He wrote that the project was likely unlawful because Congress had not approved it. The ruling does not finally decide whether the ballroom itself is lawful. It allows construction to move ahead while the larger legal fight continues. That distinction matters because emergency court orders often resolve what happens now without resolving the full merits later. Standing is a threshold legal question. It asks whether the party bringing a case has the kind of concrete injury the courts can address. The order therefore turns on procedure as well as preservation concerns. Private financing is central to the project's description, but it does not by itself answer the legal questions raised in the lawsuit. Those questions remain for the courts as the underlying case moves forward. In Massachusetts, Democratic Senator Ed Markey turned back Representative Seth Moulton in Tuesday's Senate primary. Markey, who is seeking a third term, will advance to face Republican John Deaton in November. The contest drew national attention because it put an established progressive senator against a younger Democratic congressman who argued for generational change. Markey emphasized his record on climate, technology, and progressive causes. Moulton argued that Democrats needed new leadership and a different political approach. The result preserves an incumbent in a reliably Democratic state, but it also adds another data point to a national discussion inside both parties about experience, ideology, age, and electability ahead of the midterms. Primary elections decide which message and candidate will represent each party in the general election. In this case, Markey's victory means the debate over generational change did not dislodge the incumbent from the Democratic ticket. The November contest will be the next test, while the primary remains part of a broader national argument over leadership and party strategy. In northern Arizona, search operations continue after a destructive flash flood in Grand Canyon National Park. The National Park Service says two hikers were killed in Bright Angel Canyon and one member of their group remains missing. About 80 people were rescued after flooding on Saturday. The flood also damaged the Trans Canyon waterline, the only pipeline serving the South Rim's hotels, homes, and visitor facilities. Park officials have imposed water restrictions and barred overnight lodging inside the park while damage assessments continue. The Grand Canyon welcomes millions of visitors in a normal year, so the consequences extend beyond the search effort. They include water access, tourism, staff operations, and the safety planning required in a landscape where intense rain can quickly turn narrow canyon drainages into dangerous flood channels. Flash flood danger in canyon country can be especially acute because water can move through narrow drainages far from the point where rain first falls. For responders, that makes communications, access, and accounting for hikers immediate priorities. For the park, the damaged waterline means recovery involves both emergency operations and restoration of an essential service for visitors and residents on the South Rim. And prosecutors in North Carolina have charged a 17-year-old girl in connection with the May shooting at a San Diego mosque that killed three people. The Forsyth County District Attorney says the teenager recorded a live stream of the attack and distributed writings attributed to the attackers. A grand jury indicted her on three murder counts and a conspiracy count under an aiding and abetting theory. Her attorney says she is innocent and has not yet received the evidence from law enforcement. That response is important to include. These are allegations in a criminal case, and the charges will be tested in court. The case has drawn particular attention because investigators say the attacker's alleged planning reflected white supremacist ideology and because prosecutors contend that online activity can become part of a violent crime rather than simply commentary about it. An indictment states the prosecution's accusation. It is not a conviction, and the state must prove its case in court under the applicable legal standard. The defense will have the opportunity to review the evidence and challenge the charges. The case is receiving attention because it raises questions about alleged assistance and alleged online conduct surrounding an act of violence. Overseas, U.S. forces have carried out another wave of strikes against Iranian Revolutionary Guard targets. U.S. Central Command says the targets included air defense sites, radar systems, maritime assets, mine-laying capabilities, and communications facilities. CENTCOM says the operation followed attempted attacks on commercial shipping in the Strait of Hormuz and on American service members. Iran responded with missiles and drones aimed at sites around the region. Early Wednesday, Bahrain said it intercepted an Iranian aerial attack. Iranian officials have also reported civilian casualties from a strike in southern Iran. Those reports are difficult to independently verify in real time, and the battlefield picture remains fluid. Military statements identify the targets as systems connected to detection, air defense, communications, and maritime operations. In practical terms, those are capabilities that can affect how forces monitor activity and operate near shipping routes. The United States and Iran are each presenting their own account of events. Independent confirmation can lag behind official claims during active fighting, which is why early casualty reports and battlefield assessments should be treated with caution. This matters well beyond the immediate military exchange. The Strait of Hormuz is a major global energy passage, and any threat to shipping can affect oil supplies, consumer fuel prices, inflation, and financial markets. More than 50,000 U.S. service members are operating across the Middle East, according to CENTCOM. President Trump has threatened further escalation if Iran retaliates again. As of this morning, there is no sign that this round of fighting has produced a durable pause or a diplomatic agreement. A separate humanitarian disaster is unfolding along the Nepal-China border after catastrophic flash floods and landslides. The confirmed death toll has passed 1,000, and thousands of people remain missing. Nepalese authorities say more than 21,000 personnel from the army, police, and armed police force are involved in search, rescue, evacuation, and relief work. One of the most difficult rescue problems is at hydropower sites, where workers may be trapped in damaged tunnels. Floodwaters washed away roads and bridges, leaving communities isolated and making it harder to reach survivors or establish an accurate count. Officials have warned that figures can change as teams reach remote areas and identify victims. The emergency is a reminder that in mountainous regions, flooding can damage not only homes and transport links, but also power infrastructure that is central to recovery. Search teams face two related tasks: locating people who remain unaccounted for and bringing relief to communities cut off by damaged transport links. Destroyed roads and bridges can slow the arrival of food, medical assistance, equipment, and assessment teams. The hydropower damage also has consequences beyond the initial flood zone because electricity infrastructure is important to the region's recovery and daily life. Now to money. These are final closes from Tuesday's completed U.S. trading session, not futures or intraday figures. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 419.02 points, or 0.8%, to close at 52,766.88. The S&P 500 lost 54.67 points, or 0.7%, ending at 7,631.47. The Nasdaq Composite dropped 271.11 points, or 1%, to finish at 26,099.77. Stocks fell as renewed fighting involving Iran pushed oil higher and as government bond yields rose. Brent crude settled up 4.6% at $94.65 a barrel. U.S. oil settled at $90.22. The 10-year Treasury yield rose to roughly 4.79%. Higher yields can feed through to borrowing costs, including mortgage rates, while higher energy prices can add pressure to inflation. A daily market close is a snapshot of how investors priced available information by the end of that session. It does not establish a longer-term trend on its own. Oil matters because energy is a broad business and household cost. Bond yields matter because they influence the rates used throughout the economy. When both rise at the same time, investors often focus on the possibility of more persistent inflation and more expensive credit. The economic picture is not one-directional. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that job openings were little changed in July at 7.271 million. Hires were also little changed at 5.1 million. Layoffs and discharges were 1.7 million. Meanwhile, the Institute for Supply Management said its August manufacturing index remained in expansion territory at 54.6, though it was down from July. The job openings report is a measure of labor demand at a particular point in time, and its July figures are not a real-time reading of every current labor market condition. Manufacturing data offer a different view, focused on activity in that sector. Together, the reports help explain why markets are weighing resilient activity against inflation and geopolitical risks rather than responding to a single economic signal. Taken together, that leaves policymakers and investors with competing signals. Hiring and job openings have not collapsed. Factory activity is still expanding. But oil, borrowing costs, and geopolitical uncertainty are rising risks. The next major labor market report covering August employment is due Friday. That report will arrive before the Federal Reserve's September decision and will be watched alongside fuel prices and the bond market. In sports, the U.S. Open is underway in New York and several leading American players advanced on Tuesday. Coco Gauff moved on in her opening match. Taylor Fritz defeated fellow American Darwin Blanche in straight sets, 6-3, 6-2, 6-4. Madison Keys beat Alina Korneva, 7-5, 6-4. The first week of a Grand Slam is about more than the biggest names. Players have to manage unfamiliar opponents, changing conditions, and the pressure of a two-week tournament in front of a home crowd. Gauff and Fritz enter as major American storylines. Keys is also a former U.S. Open finalist with the experience to make a deep run. The tournament runs through September 13th at the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center in Queens. Early round results set the path for the rest of a tournament, but they do not settle it. Advancing efficiently can help players conserve energy for later rounds, while close matches can test a player's form and resilience. For American fans, Tuesday's results kept several prominent home players moving forward in New York. Baseball's September playoff push is also taking shape. The Los Angeles Dodgers are 82-55. While the New York Yankees are 78-60. The Yankees opened their series with the Angels with a 7-3 win, though Gerrit Cole left the game abruptly. With fewer than 4 weeks left in the regular season, every series has greater weight. Division leaders are trying to secure favorable postseason positioning. Teams around the wildcard cutoff are calculating not only their own records, but the losses of the clubs directly around them. That is why the standings can move quickly in September. A short winning streak can create separation. A poor week can turn a comfortable position into a race. The schedule is now as important as the record, especially when contenders play each other head-to-head. A concise look at notable results from Tuesday, the Yankees beat the Angels 7-3. The Phillies defeated the Diamondbacks 7-1. The Nationals beat the Braves 9-5. At the U.S. Open, Madison Keys defeated Alina Korneva 7-5, 6-4, and Taylor Fritz beat Darwin Blanche 6-3, 6-2, 6-4. In entertainment, a Las Vegas jury has found Dwayne Kefe D. Davis guilty of first-degree murder with a deadly weapon in the 1996 killing of Tupac Shakur. Davis is the first person convicted in the death of the rapper, who was shot at age 25 in a drive-by attack near the Las Vegas Strip. The jury deliberated for less than 3 hours after a weeks-long trial. Prosecutors said Davis orchestrated the attack after Shakur and others beat Davis's nephew at a casino. Davis had pleaded not guilty. Sentencing is scheduled for October, and he could face life in prison. The case remained a cultural touchstone for nearly three decades because Shakur's music, acting, and public voice have continued to influence artists and audiences long after his death. The verdict does not erase the loss or resolve every question people have asked about the case, but it is a major legal milestone in one of the most closely watched unsolved killings in the history of American popular music. That is your morning briefing. We covered the funding extension in Washington, Pentagon leadership, election investigations, the Supreme Court, Massachusetts politics, Grand Canyon recovery, Iran, Nepal, markets, the U.S. Open, baseball, and the Tupac Shakur verdict. Please follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this briefing with one person who would value a calm morning news summary. I'm Mark Ellison. Thanks for listening.